Hello, Dick. How are you?
I'm doing great, boys.
Gosh, what a week in the NFL it was. I'll start with the San Francisco 49ers, who beat the Miami Dolphins, but what an epic blow for them. Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback, going down again, broken foot, out for the season. First question, can the 49ers still win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think their chances got diminished. The only question is how much did their chances get diminished? Because I believe that the 49ers, if you just take out the quarterback position for a second, I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFL. Now, when you add the quarterback position, you add Jimmy for them and now Brock Purdy for them, where you add Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs, you add Josh Allen to the Bills, you add Jalen Hurts to the Eagles, and all of a sudden, then the scales get tipped a little bit. So the question really is for the Niners is how much can the rest of their team carry them? Because Jimmy's not a guy that goes out and wins football games on his own, but he's very good at not losing football games, and he's very good at making the rest of his team the star in order to win those games. And so can Brock Purdy do that? I mean, I think if any team of those teams that I mentioned lost their quarterback, San Francisco can certainly handle that blow a lot better than Philadelphia, the Bills, Kansas City. If any one of those three teams lost their quarterback, they'd be done. I would tell you right now, they got no shot at winning the Super Bowl. I think San Francisco can still get there. I would not put them as the favorite over the Eagles now as I would have before the injury. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl because at some point you got to face a team from the AFC, whether it's the Bills, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's a rejuvenated Cincinnati, whether it's the Dolphins, and those teams are going to put up points. You're going to have to outscore those teams, and I don't think San Francisco would be able to do it with Brock Purdy at quarterback.
Well, Dick, do they go looking for another quarterback to fill in for the rest of the season? And if they do, I see a bloke like Baker Mayfield's been released from his club. Is that someone that they might entertain getting for the rest of the season?
Well, that was the original speculation yesterday when he was released by Carolina. And Kyle Shanahan has shot that down since then. He said his quote, I believe, was, "I would be very surprised if we'd be interested in Baker Mayfield." So, I mean, Baker Mayfield, man, that guy, he kind of deserves what he gets. I mean, I don't think I've seen a player in the NFL get more publicity, more television commercials. I mean, he was everywhere on TV for the last 3 years or so, especially when he was in Cleveland, without doing anything. So it was Baker Mayfield has shown that he is nothing more than a very, very low-end starting quarterback or maybe even a high-end backup quarterback in this league.
So what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo going ahead now when – obviously the season finishes and he's a free agent, isn't he? So
yeah.
Oh, can you envisage him being picked up elsewhere or becomes a backup there at San Francisco, stays at San Francisco because there's so many question marks with Trey Lance, the young quarterback they drafted who got injured early in the season. What happens?
Well, I've always thought that they're better off with Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan agrees, and that's why he traded up to get Trey Lance. I think they want to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. I think they were kind of forced into the situation this year to keep him on. It was good that they did. I mean, had they gone straight from Trey Lance to Brock Purdy, they wouldn't be 8-4 right now. They wouldn't be the favorites to win that division. So I do think Jimmy goes elsewhere. I think he gets a fairly decent contract. It's certainly not the contract now that all of a sudden Geno Smith is earning here in Seattle, because he is – I mean, Geno's winning games, whereas Jimmy Garoppolo is just preventing his team from losing games. So he should still get a fairly lucrative, not in any way, shape, or form in the range of the Rodgers and Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and those guys, Russell Wilson up there. But he'll get a decent contract. It'll be, I would think, at least in the $20 million a year range for a couple, 3 years.
What about Tom Brady yesterday, Dick? Unbelievable performance in the last couple of minutes, and in particular the last quarter. They were doing nothing, Tampa Bay, in that game.
They were doing absolutely nothing. Tom Brady was yelling and screaming on the sidelines, as he's done much of the year at his teammates. And I go back to a play that New Orleans didn't make, about 6 minutes left to go in the game, and Tampa Bay was dead, absolutely dead. And Mark Ingram, for some reason, runs to the sideline, could easily have put his shoulder down and gotten a first down, or maybe even just stretched the ball out over the first down marker to get the ball on to get the first down on a second down run. Instead, that leaves it third and one. And I kind of even felt at the time, I was like, man, he needed to get that first down, because if Tampa stops them here, there's plenty of time for them to do some damage. Sure enough, Tampa stops them on the third and one, and then they just went into two-minute mode with 6 minutes left, and it looked like vintage Tom Brady. And it was a huge win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that win assures them the division. I really do. I just don't see enough from Atlanta, certainly not enough from Carolina or New Orleans to pass Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay is going to have a very mediocre record, 8-9 or 9-8, but that should be enough to win that division there. But again, it showed how limited Tampa was. It was a great comeback win, but they were awful for 3.5 quarters. They had 3 points. They will not be able to keep up with Philadelphia, keep up with San Francisco, Minnesota in the NFC playoffs. So I would be stunned if Tom Brady and the Buccaneers could get all the way to the Super Bowl.
Well, what about, I've been reading, there could be a romantic return for Tom back to New England. Any truth in that?
You know, it's
and
been
back to Giselle,
yeah.
Two well, for the price think, of one, they reckon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was actually over at my folks' house last night watching that game. My mom said, Tom Brady's going to retire at the end of the year, right? And I said, well, not necessarily, because really the only thing that was pushing him towards retirement is Giselle. And now she's no longer in his life. So I don't think Tom Brady wants to retire. I mean, if he sees his performance dip to the point where he can't play anymore, then I think he realizes he's got to hang it up. But again, I mean, we saw the latest comeback in Tom Brady's career yesterday with a touchdown with 3 seconds left to go, and the second biggest fourth quarter comeback. The only other time Tom Brady had a bigger fourth quarter comeback, as we all remember, the Super Bowl against the Falcons when they were down 21-3. That was his only bigger fourth quarter comeback than he had last night. So he can still play the game. New England is a possibility. San Francisco, you asked about San Francisco. I mean, why not San Francisco for a year? With that running game, Christian McCaffrey, that defense, Tom Brady could take that team to a Super Bowl. I think that's a perfect fit for Tom Brady for 1 year.
Love it, Dick. Bring on Tom for another 5 years, I reckon. Buddy, what about this Football World Cup? Did the USA meet expectations?
I think they exactly met expectations. Okay. I mean, that was the expectations were, hey, get to the 16, get out of the group stage. They played a poor game against Wales, but then they came back with 2 very good games. Against England and Iran. So they had 2 games, 1 poor game, then they got the knockout stage, and they were just outclassed. I mean, they were outclassed. They held their own in the Netherlands game. They actually controlled the ball more than the Netherlands did. They just didn't get a lot of scoring chances, and I think that's what we saw with the weakness of this U.S. team, is this: they just didn't have enough in the front end. They just were very limited offensively. Pulisic with the spectacular goal that we'll remember, but this is a squad that is going to be primed and ready for when this World Cup comes to the States in 2026, and we're actually going to be hosting here in Seattle. So I mean, this city will turn. I mean, it's already a soccer town with the Sounders making the FIFA World Cup. But having a World Cup game in this city will be so cool coming up in 2026. And I think this U.S. team, the expectations will definitely be higher. And in fact, I think a lot of people will expect this team to get to the semifinals by 2026 and maybe even skip over that quarterfinal round.
In the NBA, the Lakers, all of a sudden, they've won 8 of their last 10, Dick, and Anthony Davis is absolutely flying. So to what extent, I guess, have they turned it around? And I mean, looking at the West is a complete lottery at the moment. Are they contenders in the West again all of a sudden, or are we getting too far ahead of ourselves?
Well, I think if Anthony Davis continues to play like the best player in the league, like he's been recently, then I think the sky's the limit for them. But the main problem with Anthony Davis is he never can stay healthy enough or consistent enough long enough to carry a team. So, I mean, in the off chance that Anthony Davis stays healthy and continues to put up 30-plus and 15 rebounds, I mean, yeah, they can hang in there because you're right. The West is just – you know, there's just nothing special about the Western Conference. If I think the most likely scenario is that Anthony Davis plays well, but then, you know, gets a boo-boo here and banged up there and sits on the bench for five games or maybe goes on the injured list for 2 weeks and then they fall back down. But, you know, so I'm going to stick with just kind of that original, let's see if the Lakers can compete for that 7-10, get into that tiebreaker game and work their way into the playoffs. I mean, the Lakers over under, I think it was 45. We took the under to start the season. It's still looking pretty good to be under 45. But, you know, if AD continues to stay healthy and play well, then, you know, they can definitely threaten the over there.
The Brooklyn Nets improving, even though they've just had a loss to Boston, but that snapped a four-game winning streak. And I see Ben Simmons hoping to return in their game against the Atlanta Hawks later in the week. But Kyrie Irving being let go by Nike, that'd cost him a fair bit of money.
Oh, boy, that's going to cost him a lot of money. I mean, there's been some people in this country that have opened their mouth, and, you know, Kanye being one of them, Kyrie Irving being one of them, cost themselves billions. I mean, in Kanye, it's billions. In Kyrie's situation, it's hundreds of millions. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much money these guys have cost themselves, and not only in, you know, monetary, but also just in public image as well. And it's really unfortunate. But you know, Brooklyn is the Lakers of the East, really. I mean, it's the team that has the big name stars that if they were to put it all together, they could make a run. But the chances of Brooklyn putting it all together and the chances of the Lakers putting it all together are definitely under 50-50.
On the Major League Baseball front, I saw this contract. So World Series winning pitcher Justin Verlander is 40 years of age. What, he signed a two-year deal worth $86 million with the New York Mets.
The money that these big market teams are spending is absolutely insane to me. I mean, I understand there's no – see, in baseball, there's no hard salary cap like there is in the NFL. So we've always talked about the quarterbacks making so much that it affects the rest of their team because there's a hard salary cap in the NFL. There's no hard salary cap in baseball. So you see these contracts, this Verlander contract – Trey Turner, 11 years, $300 million with the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, money is just being thrown around. Now, you do have to pay a luxury tax similar to what you do in the NBA. But, you know, these owners, these big market teams say, meh, big deal. You know, I mean, my team is, you know, my team is increasing in value every single year. I'm getting, you know, plenty of revenue from my television dollars, so I'm just going to continue to spend money and pay that luxury tax. And that's kind of a fight that we're, you know, fighting here in Seattle, because Seattle's not a small market team, but it's not a big market team either. It's somewhere, you know, in that 10 to 15 range. So the fans here in Seattle are seeing these players getting signed for $300 million and saying, well, why aren't we signing players for $300 million? Well, the simple reason is that these middle market teams and small market teams have to do it differently. They have to be more savvy. They just can't go around and throw around $300 million, especially when we just paid Julio Rodriguez, you know, a $200+ million contract. We can't afford to have, you know, three or four guys on the team making $25 to $30 million a year.
And I guess when that sort of money's being thrown around, Dick, it's hard to see the NBA and Major League regular seasons being reduced. I mean, I get bored in both those regular seasons, particularly the NBA now, because I don't think they're taking it seriously until you're getting towards the playoffs. So, I guess with all the money involved and broadcast rights, etc., it's very unlikely they'll be reduced.
Yeah, you're right. It's unfortunate because I think the best length for a basketball season would be somewhere in that, you know, 60-game range. I think a baseball season, a 120-game baseball season would be absolutely perfect, truncated a little bit. Don't have it compete with football so much in September and October. But, you know, you're right. I mean, with these players making so much, the revenue has to come in somewhere, and it comes in from the TV rights, and it comes in from the ticket sales. So they need those 162 games in baseball and the 82 games in the NBA.
What are your best bets?
You know, this is an interesting week, guys. There's a few games that I like, but I don't have one that I like more than the other. So what I did yesterday when I did my show down at the casino, I actually put together a three-team parlay.
Love it.
Of the three games I like the best. And that was the Jets +9.5, the Giants +7, and the Chargers +3. And what I did was I actually teased them. I teased them up. I teased them up with 7 points. So I think I still got +120 on my ticket. But I got the Jets, Giants, and Chargers at huge numbers. So I got the Jets at 16.5, the Giants at 14, and the Chargers at 10, because I think all three of those teams could win their games. But I'd be very, very surprised if any of those games was not competitive. I think those are going to be your close games. If I had to pick one, I think the Jets +9.5, that's too big a number against the Buffalo Bills, because the Jets defense is too good. So I kind of like that one. But any of those three games, I feel very good about that they'll be very competitive games. And I could even see, without too much of a problem, the Chargers winning at home outright, and they're +3 at home against Miami.
Yeah, it's a must-win game for them as well. Thanks so much, mate.
All right, boys, we'll talk to you next week.